call Adma Mizraim, the Faro, Pi Machru, Mizraim Ish Sadeh, Sadehu, Velo Amar Shikane Gufam Rakhaya.
Velo Amar Sheikne Gufam Rak Ha'adama. The Ramban says, read the pasuk carefully, Mr. Twain. Vayiken Yosef es kol admas Mitzrayim lefaro, ki machru Mitzrayim ish sadehu. Yosef purchased the land. Vilo amar sheyikne gufam. He did not buy them as personal slaves. Rak ha'adama, only the land. So again, when Yosef said, Hein kanisi eschem, he doesn't mean that you will be my slaves. Ve'atam kihem amrulo, they had suggested, it was their very idea. Sheyikno osam lavadim osem leches hamelech kiritzono, that they should be slaves unto Pharaoh. Vehu, but Yosef.
Lo ratza rach yikno et hanama, ve'hatna imahem sheyav.
And that they will be in perpetuity workers of the land, but they will not be slaves. Viyuba arisei, right, an aris, a sharecropper, bate avos lefaro. Yosef lo ratza raklik noses adama. He had the opportunity. In fact, it was their suggestion. And as I alluded to previously, why do you think it is that Yosef refused to buy them as slaves? He knew what it was to be a slave. And he was not going to enslave anybody else. Neither Jew nor Egyptian. But it wasn't only that that he said, okay, I'll buy the land and I'll take care of you that way and you'll be sharecroppers. But there's a detail that should not be missed. Ezra, why don't you take over? V'achrechein amar lahem hein kanisi eschem ayom v'esad maschem lefaro. Not hein kanisi eschem, I bought you as slaves, but lo la'avadim kasher amartem li, I refuse to buy you in the sense of enslavement, but rather, exactly, you are, so to speak, avadim la'adama. Hein kanisi eschem doesn't mean you are enslaved, but it means that I have a kinyan on you as far as the fact that you must agree to be sharecroppers, to work the land. And now, since Paro owns all the land, and again, let's review the Ramban's first point, that Yosef was an Ish Emunim, a man of great integrity, and he didn't enrich himself at all. So the Melech Paro, who's the Adon HaKarka, who owns it all, it would have been entirely fitting and altogether appropriate if Paro would get 80% and the sharecroppers would get a subsistence ration of 20%. Who understands? What did the Ramban say? What was Yosef's chesed? Vani es chesed imachem. Ezra?
He gave them the 80% instead of the 20%.
Really, the 80% should go to the landowner, to the balabayis, to Paro. And the 20% should go to the aris, the sharecropper. But Yosef said, not only do I refuse to purchase you as a slave, as somebody who knows that experience firsthand, contrary to Twain's presentation of Yosef having enslaved every man, woman, and child. But not only am I not going to enslave you, but I will treat you better than any other sharecropper. I will give you the 80% of the produce, and Paro will only get the 20%. Let's go, Ezra. Right, the one thing that I'm demanding in return is that hein kanisi eschem hayom v'yasad maschem, is that you can't just go and leave the land. You have to actually work the land. Hadama lo tisham. V'zetam, and this is the only explanation, says the Ramban, mashenadrulo v'adama lo tisham, that the land shall not grow desolate. Shalo tisham le'olam. Because Yosef, by instituting this system in perpetuity, had ensured that the land of Egypt would never get desolate, would always be fertile, would always be worked. Ulekach amrlo. So on this basis of Daniel, his outright refusal to purchase them as slaves, and Avery, his treating them better than any other sharecroppers, and giving them an 80% share instead of a 20% share. We're not talking about a 2 or 3% difference. We're talking about a world of a difference. So on that basis, the Ramban says, should you have any lingering doubt whatsoever as to what actually transpired in Bereishis Perek Mem Zayin, or as Twain says, Genesis 47, whether indeed it was Yosef's actions that serves as the basis of historical anti-Semitism, should you have any doubt whatsoever, says the Ramban, look no further than the reaction of the Egyptian people themselves. Ezra, bring us home now. You were makil with us. Shehikalta aleinu litol arba hayados. You have shown incredible compassion, generosity, grace in our moment of distress. And so indeed, in diametric opposition to the presentation of Mark Twain as the actions of Yosef as the basis for historical anti-Semitism, one might indeed say, in light of the beginning of Parsha Shmos, Vayakov Melech Hadash al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yada as Yosef, one might better say, one might more accurately say, no good deed goes unpunished. Yosef's treatment of the Egyptian people was the paradigm of compassion, of integrity, of empathy. And thus, again, despite my great general admiration for Twain as a literary figure and as a champion of human rights, and also generally as somebody who had great admiration for the Jewish people, I cannot abide, in any sense, his presentation of the end of this week's parsha. Yosef indeed did not enslave the Egyptian people. He did not, as Twain would have it, take a corner in human suffering and in broken hearts and in the crust of the poor and in human liberty. Yosef, in an unprecedented fashion, was nischased im ha'am ha'mitzri. And all of that chesed, Vayakom el chadash al Mitzrayim asher lo yada as Yosef, was willfully forgotten. And terrible suffering was visited upon Yosef's family and his descendants, and indeed, true avdus, instead of the avdus which was ascribed to Yosef and the Egyptian people, but according to the reading of the Psukim, and certainly according to the Ramban's presentation, which is a very careful, far more careful reading than Twain's, simply never occurred. And this brings us, of course, to the denouement. As we noted at the outset, anti-Semitism, which has reared its head so violently in recent months in this country, and thank God for law enforcement, which has prevented this week in Ohio another disaster. But Pittsburgh, as we noted at the time, was unprecedented in American history. Charlottesville, Jews will not replace us. These are frightening times. It's a time for vigilance. But let not a single one of us be deceived. Let not one of us suffer any illusions. Any attempts, even on the part of incredibly intelligent and thoughtful figures such as Twain, to rationalize anti-Semitism in some historical incident are futile and they are deeply misguided. Anti-Semitism can never be explained by the action of a group of Jews or a particular Jew. For the very notion, even at the level of an explanation as opposed to a justification, I'm not claiming that Twain is trying to justify it, he wasn't an anti-Semite. But any notion that anti-Semitism can be explained through the action of just one Jewish person, even a prominent Jewish person like Yosef, is indeed the very definition of bigotry and prejudice. For what is bigotry and what is prejudice if not the projection of the actions of a single member of any ethnic, racial, gender, religious group as representative of the entire group? Even if it were so, and it is not so, that Yosef had acted with cruelty with respect to the Egyptian people, that would hardly be an explanation, and surely not a justification, for persecution of an entire group. Every single group, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Sikhs, Buddhists, black, white, Native American, Hispanic, men, women, heterosexual, homosexual, every single group of people in this world has individual representatives that act in disreputable and altogether immoral ways. That says nothing whatsoever about the majority of those groups. Any attempt to portray, to distort the actions of an individual or a small group of individuals, of the minority, as representatives of the majority, of the group itself, is the very definition of bigotry and prejudice. Every group has individuals who are a poor reflection that in no way explains or justifies any kind of animus towards the group overall. Individuals must always be judged as such. Individuals must always be judged on the merits of their own character or the demerits of their own character. And so as Jews, we've suffered historically beyond words in ways that are not explicable, in ways that do not reflect any kind of a rational basis. And it's extremely important for us to resist, both when it comes to our own people, the Jewish people, but equally when it comes to other groups of people, any attempt to portray or represent the action of the individual criminal, the individual miscreant, the individual deviant, as a valid representation of the entire group. That path is the path of hatred. That path is eventually the path of violence. And so, even as incisive and celebrated, and rightly so, a figure as Twain could make such a mistake. Anyone can. So it's an extremely important part of your education here in our yeshiva to learn that individuals must be judged based on, as Martin Luther King said, the content of their own character. Whereas the Torah insisted, Ish bechet'o, you must, that a person should be punished only for his or her own failure, as opposed to some kind of a collective judgment. Our people have suffered on this basis. And as we stated, careful reading of Bereishis Perek Mem Zayin, the Ramban's reading, would indicate that if anything, Yosef's actions, b'chachma b'tvuno v'das, with intelligence, with strategic planning, as an ish emunim, as a person of incredible integrity, who had daily control over billions of dollars and did everything right and nothing wrong in terms of handling of that money, who else would have conducted himself with such integrity? But above all, in the profound chesed that he demonstrated towards the Egyptian people, refusing to enslave them despite the fact that they were the ones who suggested it to him. Lama namus le'enecha, kineo sanu. And yet he refused. And not only did he refuse to buy them, but he treated them with unprecedented compassion. And in that respect, Yosef sets an example for all of us in three ways of who it is that we aspire to be. To be first and foremost people of chachma, of tvuna, of das, people of wisdom, people of insight, people of intellect, people who make a great contribution to society. In some of our shiurim that we've had together with some of the groups here, we've been discussing the notion of yeshuvo shel olam. Who contributed more than Yosef to yeshuvo shel olam, lo so vira, la sheves yitzara, number one. Number two, as anshei emunim, as people of great integrity who preserve the faith entrusted to them and act in accordance with that faith and with that honesty and integrity as anshei emunim. And third, above all, as anshei chesed, as Yosef was nischased with the Egyptian people, as those who have experienced the bitterness of suffering and of slavery, who refused to enslave others, of those who've experienced, historically speaking, persecution and oppression, who refused to oppress. This is Yosef's true legacy, Vayomru, and so the Egyptian people testified to this compassion in one simple word, which captured the fact that Yosef indeed would not enslave them, and indeed would give them an 80% share, Vayomru, Hechayisanu, you have given us life. Thank you very much.